Grace, peace, and mercy, I pray, would be yours in Jesus' name. Amen. How precious are we to God? How much has He given up for us? How deep is that love that He has for us? Scripture says, I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Egypt is the ransom I exchanged for you. Sudan and Seba are the price I paid for you. Have you ever thought about those words and what they really mean? We, the whole human race, we're all God's children. We're all descendants of Adam. If you read the genealogies in the Bible, when it gets back to Adam, right, it's always was the son of. You know who it says Adam was the son of? God. We're all descendants. We're all children of God. Egypt, Sudan, Seba, and other nations that were these are nations that were destroyed so that God's people would be saved. But we're all children of God. Do you think it was so easy for our Heavenly Father to watch His children being slaughtered like locusts? They were children who had rejected Him, children who despised Him, children who hated Him, but still His children. And yet, for the sake of the faithful, for Ken's sake and yours, God gave them up. Those millions of people are children that God will never see again. They were left behind. They were abandoned for the faithful. What a price that was paid for we who are saved. Who are we that God would choose us over anybody else? And yet He did choose us, and because He did, we sit here in faith and in hope of God's promised salvation. That is the true wonder of our God. We are in no way worthy of the grace He gives us. We are guilty of sins from the very moment of our conception. We are soiled. We are sick. We are stained. We are sin-filled. We're not worthy of the grace, and yet He still gives it. He, through His word and sacraments, instills in us faith, faith that He gives us, faith through which He saves us. There are plenty of enemies around, enemies that have no other desire than to rip that faith from your hearts and replace it with doubt and with fear. They have no goal other than to watch you suffer. They come for you with weapons that hack away at your faith. For this reason, our Lord teaches us to put on that full armor of God, the Word of God. Words that are breathed out by the Holy Spirit through the hand of the prophets and the apostles and brought to your ears through the reading of Holy Scripture. That is the same word that I got to bring to Ken each time I visited. The word that brought strength to his faith and fear into the enemies who would try to cause his faith to falter and allow fear its freedom. I would bring him the Lord's Supper, which was given to us by Jesus to provide strength for the soul and forgiveness to still worried hearts. Our time here in this world is a struggle. We struggle with sin and with sin's effect. You see, sin is not just the times we mess up, the mistakes we make. It's not just the bad things we do, or the things we fail to do that we're supposed to do. Sin is everything that falls short of God's definition of perfection. And sin affects everything around us. Sin is in our body failing. Sin is our mind getting old. Sin is our eyes growing dim. That's all sin's effect. And not one of us can escape it. Sin's going to get you. It got Ken, didn't it? He had trouble walking. He had trouble hearing. He had all sorts of ailments. And then Then there was the stroke, and then the pneumonia, and sin was getting him. Not just his sin. He wasn't being punished for some heinous infraction against the law of God. It was just the effect of sin on creation that was tearing him down. Sin was getting him the same way it gets all of us. It was wearing him down. It was attacking him. It was trying to break him. It was trying to break his faith. It was trying to make him doubt. It was trying to make him give up on God and despair. As his pastor, I had the privilege of bringing to him the Lord's Supper and God's Word. I was able to do that while the enemy, the devil, prowled around looking for chinks in the armor, looking for weak links where he can focus his attack. He's relentless. He's relentless and merciless, and yet for those who are faithful to the end, for those who endure the trials and the troubles, salvation waits. They are set free. Listen to what God said. They were standing in front of the throne and the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. Palm branches. I explained this to the family right before the service. Why palm branches? Why are we waving palm branches in the throne room of heaven? Those who attend church here regularly have probably heard this a few times, but our flag, which will be presented after this service, that American flag, that's the symbol, the identity of who we are. It's a sign of our freedom. The symbol of freedom to ancient Israel, their flag, was that palm branch. That's what they waved to commemorate and remember their freedom. That is why the faithful hold palm branches before the throne of God, because that is the flag of freedom for God's chosen people. It is the flag we all wave on Palm Sunday. It's the flag we'll all wave on Judgment Day when Christ returns. That palm branch signifies we are no longer slaves to sin and sin's effect. Sin and death and the power of the devil will never touch us again. The pains and the problems from sin will be, if they are anything at their best, only a memory of something that once was and will never be again. That freedom, that kind of freedom, is found in faith. The faith given to us at our holy baptism and held in us by the Holy Spirit, who dwells not just with us, but within us, making our body his temple, keeping us there, keeping us safe. That faith is strengthened by God's holy word. Ken Engelhardt was a child of God, and in the end, that's all he had left to hold on to. But that is more than any of us need. He clung to those words, and he believed them. As I said, I only got to know Ken a short time. The truth is, as his pastor, if I got to meet him once a month, it was that's about the extent of it. But I get the feeling that Ken was proud of certain aspects of his life. I think he was a strong man in many ways. I think, however, that before his God, he was humble. I think he bowed and did not question. He humbly believed and trusted in his Lord. At his end, as God's word declares, his angels were watching over him, waiting for our master's call home. Angels who have and always see the face of our Heavenly Father and who strive to do nothing except his will and do nothing but ensure our safety. We don't fight alone. Our Heavenly Father is called the Lord God of armies. He commands a battle force of warriors that fight for us. In Ken's last hours, by our eyes, he was weak, feeble, and powerless. Yet there standing over him was the army of our Lord. An army obeying the Lord's command, and the Lord answers our prayers. Prayers like those I prayed for him, asking our Lord to hold Ken fast in the faith given to him, asking God to keep him from all who would cause him doubt or fear. Satan's real. He's as real as our God. St. Paul said, we are wrestling with rulers, authorities, and powers that govern this world of darkness and spiritual forces that control evil in the spiritual world. This is no game, and the battle for our souls is no small matter, yet our God reigns. He gives us faith. He gave Ken faith, and then through that faith given to him by God, God saved him. Saturday afternoon, Jesus woke him from his sleep, removed from him the burdens of this life, and led him safely home. Home where he right now wears that white robe of righteousness, where he holds that palm branch of freedom and eagerly waits for the day when Christ will return to earth again in power and in might to raise our bodies and to dwell with us forever in a place that sin will never touch again. That is the wonder of our Heavenly Father's love. That is the salvation earned for us through Christ Jesus our Lord. That is the faith held in us by the Holy Spirit. Cherish that precious gift. It is yours at a great price, though it cost you nothing. In Jesus' name, amen.